Welcome to the I Have a Dream Show with your host, Princess Fizz.
My guest today is very, very inspiring. I mean, I've been following him for a while now. And just to give a background of his profile, he's an 8-time best-selling author. And one of the books that have been best-selling is Unemployed Millionaire. And he's got 18 years of experience, and he's generated over 50 million in income, both with his own branding and also working as an affiliate marketer for other companies as well. So please welcome one of the most demanded speakers in the industry, Matt Morris. Thank you so much, Matt, for coming in live from America.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute honor, Matt. And I have to say, I have to thank you for your precious time that you're giving to the Dream Show today to inspire viewers with your incredible story and the journey, and hopefully drop some golden nuggets of business and marketing onto the show.
Yeah, no, absolutely. My pleasure.
Now, we have got a bonus for you guys, so stay tuned and you will find out what that bonus is. It's directly from Matt Morris as well, so you'll be able to download that throughout the show. I will reveal the link for that. So, Matt, so if we can get right into the show, I mean, I'm very, very eager to kind of for you to share your story. I mean, it's very, very powerful. From what I've read, it's just inspired me, and it kind of raised goosebumps in me. So if you can kind of take us back to your childhood years, what was your upbringing like? What was your your surroundings, your environment like? If you can kind of just walk us through.
Wow, you are going all the way back. I was thinking I just started in network marketing. So so childhood got started, had parents divorced when I was 4.
Right.
About a year after my parents separated, a year or so after they separated, I spent the weekends with my dad, or every other weekend with my dad, and the rest of the time with my mom. And so dad picks me up one for our weekend together, but drops me off at my grandparents' house, saying that he had to work for the weekend. I was about five years old or so. And it's funny, I still remember him dropping me off, being really upset, and he actually did not have to work. He didn't go work. He went over to my mom's house. She had fallen in love with someone else.
Right.
And so my father broke in and murdered my mom's boyfriend right in front of her. And so that was just kind of the beginning of, drama growing up. Dad went to prison, and, so just kind of growing up in school, when you're going to football games or athletic events, stuff like that, people ask, hey, where's your dad? Yes. And I never wanted to say he was in prison because it was embarrassing. So I would say he's out of town, which was true. He was out of town. Mm-hmm. And, he ended up getting out of prison, raging alcoholic. Somehow my mom seemed to forgive him. And anyway, still got to, be with him, actually lived with him for a period of time, a small period of time. That's a longer story than we probably have time for. But, living with my mom had a dream to become an attorney, and she didn't have a college degree. So saw my mom work, two jobs, working her way through college. We lived in a trailer park. We're on food stamps. Just saw her work really hard. She went to got her college degree, got her law degree, ended up becoming an attorney. She's actually a judge today, so super
Absolutely.
Proud of her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hearing that story, Matt, that's kind of a lot of emotions going on there, because first of all, it's stability. Children need stability, and when they see that their parents aren't together, it kind of emotionally withdraws that child. And second, seeing your mum working very, very hard and kind of raising up herself in career-wise, that shows a lot of kind of courage. So were there a lot of mixed messages going on?
Well, it was, here's what happened with me as a kid. It was a couple things. One, very positive. My mom is my, huge inspiration. She's my hero. Yeah. And because I saw her go through so much adversity to accomplish her dreams. And it was like, no matter what, she just kept going. She, is improvise, adapt, and overcome. So that was really inspiring. As a kid, though, with the dad going to prison ended up being a raging alcoholic, passing out all the time. He committed suicide when I was 13 years old. I did withdraw. I mean, you're definitely spot on with that. I kind of withdrew because what happened, you know, is you make friends, people, you know, other kids are going to ask you about your family. Hey, what does your dad do? What does your mom do? What's, you know, they ask you. Well, I was always embarrassed about my situation. Mm-hmm. I didn't ever want to have to tell anyone that. And every time I made friends, I'd have to reveal the stuff that I didn't want to talk about. So I almost consciously didn't go out and make friends. I was a loner for the most part. I mean, I had essentially two friends going through high school. I was not Mr. Popular. I just kept to myself, you know. I don't think I ever even told my best friend in life. I never even told him that my father committed suicide. I never told him my dad went to prison. You know, I just kept it all a secret. Never told anyone until I became an adult. Right. And so I guess carrying that forward, getting into network marketing, this is all about connecting with other people. So I had grown up not connecting with other people. I didn't want to connect with other people, and now all of a sudden I have to. So it was a long, steep learning curve for me. And then I'd have to say the other kind of piece of programming that got put into me was, you know, one was good. It was a strong work ethic. I saw my mom work very, very hard. And so, you know, I worked hard. It was just second nature. But I also saw her work really hard for, you know, very little compensation. Money was always super hard to come by. Even when I was in high school, she became an attorney. And she got a job as a staff attorney, which doesn't, you know, it's a very low-paying job. And so she was an attorney, but she also worked a part-time job selling cosmetics when I was in high school. So, you know, it was almost like no matter how hard you work, money's hard to come by.
Right. That was.
I didn't have anyone that was really had the abundance mentality from a wealth standpoint, and so you know, it was good that I had the work ethic, but money was this foreign object to me. You know, it was like I can't even understand how you can make a lot of money.
That's amazing. I mean, I'm just trying to get to the point where you break away from what you were taught, because this is like a blueprint that gets imprinted, you know, by your parents, by your, and I think the worst thing is society that makes it even worse, because having to face society with the home situation is even harder. So where did you learn an alternative method? I mean, how did you know there's another side? Yeah. Well, how did you fall into that kind of lifestyle and lead that through?
One, I had a lot of desire because we didn't have a lot of money growing up. I had a lot of desire. I wanted to make a lot of money.
Right.
You know, I don't know if I thought it, I really believed in myself, but I at least had the desire. And so I was seeking out. I was always seeking out ways to make money. I, you know, would have, you know, lots of jobs and stuff through high school. I'd work really hard. You know, it was always minimum wage type stuff. But when I got into college, I ended up getting involved in network marketing.
Oh, wow. And, young age.
So my sponsor gave me Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Okay, excellent.
So that was the first personal development book I ever read. And when I read it, I was like, oh, my God, why are we not taught this in school? How come I've never had to read this book in school? I'm reading, you know, history and math and science, geography, grammar, all this stuff that's, you know, I mean, great stuff. We obviously need to learn it, but it's not going to make me wealthy. And this is the kind of stuff that I need to know to reprogram myself so I can start making some money. So, you know, that was the start of the journey, was getting into network marketing, reading that book. And then I kind of, you know, then it was like, okay, I need to keep reading this stuff. I need to go to the trainings. And it was, you know, a slow process. But that was the, I guess, the impetus for changing my mindset.
So do you think every event that's happened till that point was actually deliberate? I mean, it had to kind of waken you up and build this kind of like, I don't know how to kind of explain it, but it's build something in you to look for something bigger. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this is a belief of mine. And the belief of mine is that everything happens for a reason. Nothing happens by chance. Now, does everything really happen for a reason? I don't know. It's just what I choose to believe. Yeah. And I think if you choose to have that belief, then that's going to serve me in a powerful way. So when I look back at the crazy things that happened to me growing up, you know, Dad, for instance, you know, one time Dad left me. I had a book report, and I was living with my dad at the time. Well, he had moved to North Carolina. I didn't know the area. he drops me off at the library. And so I'm doing my book report, and he's like, call me when you're done, I'll come pick you up. Well, when I'm done, I call him, no answer. I call home, no answer. I keep calling home at the payphone there, and no answer, back when there were payphones. And so he just can't get him to answer the phone. So anyway, I'm there, and the payphone was inside the little the walkway of the library, and the library is closing, so they have to lock the door, meaning I can't get into the library. And so I remember the guy, the person leaving, asking me, hey, are you okay? Do you need anything? And I said, oh, my dad's on his way to pick me up. I didn't want to tell him I can't get a hold of my dad, because that would be embarrassing. So anyway, I just waited outside, and I sat out there for a good 20 minutes or so. He never came. I'm 11 years old at the time, pouring down rain, and I just decided, well, I guess I better find my way home. And it was a couple miles. I had to, you know, basically run a couple miles home. And so I look back at that experience. Thank goodness that happened. If that hadn't happened, I probably wouldn't have the independence that I have now. I had to step up, figure out how to get home, you know, go through that adversity, and it made me a stronger person. So every, you know, and I think it was in Napoleon Hill in Think and Grow Rich, it may have been something else, but it said every adversity carries with it a seed of a greater benefit.
Exactly, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
You know, if whatever adversity you're going through, you can look for that seed of a greater benefit, then it's going to make going through the challenge easier for you.
That's absolutely incredible, Matt. And yeah, the viewers are actually going mad with the comments. I'll read some of that in a minute. But Matt, so I mean, the question is, Matt, right? So usually at a young age, you know, you tend to look for short-term pleasure. Why didn't you get into like the worst-case scenario, like get into drugs or drinking? I mean, you had that in your life. I mean, you had someone drinking in front of you. Why didn't you run into that footstep and kind of think, okay, I need to forget everything. I want to get into this sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I did my share of drinking, I guess, but I don't know. I mean, I just think my mom was such a strong personality that she really grounded me. And, you know, so I probably have to credit her for, you know, being a good role model. And I just didn't associate myself. You know, the one thing that my mom did, and this was part of the reason why she had to work a part-time job as an attorney, is she would, you know, we moved into an area where I could go to a better school, not the school from the trailer park, you know. Even when we lived in the trailer park, she would, we put my grandparents' address so I could go to a better school. And so she was very good about keeping me in the right environment and encouraging me to have a job and keeping me busy doing things so I wouldn't, you know, get bored, go get in trouble. And then I joined the U.S. Marine Corps right out of high school. And you know, I had drug testing, so that was one thing. Because I'll get drug tested. But no, I don't know. I think maybe I just don't really have an addictive personality when it comes to that kind of stuff. So. I was more addicted to working and, you know, becoming successful than I was something that, you know, I knew would hold me back. And mom was very clear with me about, you know, how that would hold you back.
Excellent. So it's all in the decision, isn't it, Matt? Because, I mean, I'm sure if any viewers are listening and they are kind of relating to your story, there's always a decision you can make. I mean, there's a wrong way and there's a right way, always. And it's really amazing that you chose the right way.
And, you know, for me, a lot of times people will be in an environment and they'll say, oh, well, that's what my father did. I'm going to do that. I looked at it like, wow, that's exactly what not to do. Because I saw this, it's like, okay, I'm never going to do that, you know?
Excellent. Wow, so reading that book, Think and Grow Rich, what happened after that? I mean, how did that help you?
That really just got me to believe that I could go out and become successful. You know, because before that, like, I had the mindset that I'd probably end up getting a job, climbing the corporate ladder, doing, you know, regulars. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I wanted to make a lot of money, but I didn't, you know, I just didn't know how to go about it. And so, you know, in reading that and a bunch of other books, you know, hearing stories of other people that have had a lot of success, then, you know, just that it changed my mindset. And the other thing is, you know, what the company I joined did a lot of big events, and the company's been around, you know, one of the oldest network marketing companies out there. And I went to the events, and I saw other people who were living this amazing life, making millions of dollars, and I got hooked on network marketing at that point. Now, I was not a success at all in getting started, but I got hooked on the dream. I was like, wow, where else can you work really hard for a period of time, stop working, but keep getting paid?
Right.
You know, the residual income aspect of it. And, you know, I'm big on adventure. I mean, I love being able to travel around the world, do cool things, and, you know, not have to be tied to an office, not have to be tied to a job. And I've always kind of been like that. And so network marketing for me was the perfect vehicle.
Excellent. And at any point, did you not want to have a little bit of security? I mean, naturally, as a human, right, going through what you did.
And I'll tell you about that, because I was in network marketing my first 2 years in network marketing. In fact, I was working as a waiter in a Hilton hotel.
Right.
Where I was a banquet waiter, and so I'm serving this banquet, and one of the other waitresses, she asked me if I ever thought about being in business for myself, and she was kind of cute, so I wanted to build rapport with her, so I was like, yeah, all the time, and she's like, well, you should write your number down for me, and we'll talk business sometime, and so I was anxious to talk business, so I gave her my number, she called me a couple days later, and, you know, asked me to meet her at a hotel one night to talk business.
Right.
And I was like, all right, awesome. Hotel, Mary Beth, night, business, yes, I'm in. And unfortunately, there was a room full of people wearing suit and ties. And, you know, that was network marketing. And so I saw it and I thought, wow, I'm going to get rich. I was, you know, it's the story you hear all the time about you couldn't sleep the first night. I'm seeing circles on the ceiling and the walls.
Magic
and
like,
I'm going to tell five, who tell five, who tell five, and I'm going to be a millionaire. And so, and I had never heard of network marketing before. I thought, I remember going home that night and thinking, oh my God, I can't believe they're the only company that does this.
Right.
I really thought they were the only one.
Right.
And, you know, I quickly figured out I was the last to know. You know, there's lots of other companies and all this. And so after 2 years in network marketing, I had sponsored three people, two of which I paid for to get in, one of which was my mom. I never even told her that she was in. So that was my illustrious career there in network marketing after the first 2 years. And so made no money. I got involved in another company, made no money, got involved in another company, made no money, got involved in another company, made no money. I had moved back in with my mom, and my mom saw me not going to college. I dropped out of college. I wouldn't get a job because I wanted to do network marketing full time. I was also, you know, partying a good amount. I was 21. I'm going out and, you know, having fun, you know, just being irresponsible. And so mom said, you know, she sat me down one day and she said, Matt, you're old enough to not go to college. You're old enough to not have a job. You're old enough to have your own business. So you're also adult enough to pay me rent. So pay me rent or move out.
Excellent.
And by the end of the month. And so I had, you know, she gave me some time to go get a job and all this. So I went and got a job. It was selling above ground swimming pools.
Right.
And they sent me to Louisiana. I didn't get paid commissions until the pool got installed, which was 6 to 8 weeks out. So for basically 2 months, I had no money, enough to pay for gas and a little bit of food. I'd buy like loaves of bread and eat bread for 2 days because I had no money. The gas money was hard to get by on. And so, I was homeless, living out of my car. And this was the association that I made in my mind, was because I had tried to be this entrepreneur and, you know, I set up an office at one point. I spent all this money on advertising, doing all kinds of ridiculous stuff. Yeah. That was me being the wild, crazy entrepreneur. And so, you know, when I'm living out of my car, I'm like, I need security.
Right.
I do not want to live out of my car again. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. Living out of my car was, I would bathe in gas station bathrooms.
Cool.
After a couple days on the road, I'm like, well, how do I bathe? How do I, you know, I mean, I got to clean myself. So I went to a truck stop. Well, what do truckers do? I would go to a truck stop and I was like, oh, can I use your shower? And they said, well, you have to fill up with 100 gallons of fuel to use our showers. Well, my Honda Civic held 9 gallons. So I was, you know, I couldn't use their shower. So I went into their bathroom, the door locked on the inside. So I locked the door and I showered in the sink.
Goodness me.
Yeah. One, one night, and this was kind of one of my defining moments, was I pull into a church parking lot, and in the church parking lot, you know, I would always park in churches because I felt like a criminal would feel guilty carjacking me if I was at a church, right? So that was my logic. So I'm laying there. It's pouring down rain, pouring down rain. Normally the rain would help me sleep, and that night, I can't sleep. And I can't sleep because I can smell myself.
Right.
And I'm thinking, if I go into the house tomorrow, there's no way they're going to buy a pool because I smell so bad. So, you know, it's raining outside. I took off my clothes. I grabbed my bar of soap. I walked out in the middle of the church parking lot, and I showered naked in the rain.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you ever showered in the rain before?
No.
No? Okay. All right, so that's your homework after the show.
Gotta try it.
So what happens, there's no concentration of water like a shower head, so you know you can't really run around. I went over, there's no gutter on one side of the roof, so I showered underneath the gutter runoff from the roof of the church. And then I got back in my car, and that's where I kind of had the come to Jesus talk, you know, that defining moment where I was like, all right, I gotta, let's analyze the situation. I'm 21 years old, I'm homeless, miserable, lonely, just showered naked in a church parking lot, something's got to change. Yeah. And that's really when I made a huge commitment to personal development of, you know, learning what I needed to learn in order to be successful. Mm-hmm. But I ended up getting a job. I had a friend of mine that I'd gone to college with that had, you know, gone to work for this company. He got me an interview. I drove to Austin, Texas, like the next day to do this interview. They hired me right away. And then I was going to be with this company, and I worked for them for about a year and a half to 2 years. And that was security. It was like, you know, I was getting my debt paid off. I could pay all my bills. I had a roof. Mm-hmm. And here's what got me out of that security mindset was, and I was a great employee with that company. I mean, I would get there early. I'd stay late. Whatever they wanted me to do, I was all in. I was totally committed.
Right.
And one day, this was when the .com, you know, the crash hit in the .com industry. So they laid off 2/3 of the company in one day. And, you know, that's when I just made the decision. I said, you know, never again do I want to put my financial destiny in the hands of someone else. I've got to control my own financial destiny. And I don't care how hard I have to work. I don't care, you know, what price I have to pay. I am going to figure out this network marketing thing. And that's when, I mean, I got obsessive about reading books on network marketing, books on communication skills. It was like whatever it takes. And, you know, got back into network marketing full time, like full bore. I got a job to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to make the same mistake that I did last time, but I got a job. But I was, man, I worked like harder than I had ever worked in my life.
Right. You know those periods, Matt, where you were kind of suffering, you know? I mean, it is suffering, you know, having to have showers outside in the rain under a drain pipe. My 8-year-old is laughing, actually, when she heard that. But the tolerance. I want to ask you about tolerance levels. Some people are prepared to suffer or short-term kind of sacrifices for the long-term effort, you know? What's your message towards that? I know from your whole story, I can understand where that tolerance built up. But for normal people to be able to come out of their comfort zone like that, it's very difficult. They don't like to be comfortable. So what's the message there?
I'll give you a couple, you know, two or three here. You know, one is it helps if you join the Marine Corps. Because they have this saying that pain is just weakness leaving the body. So right. a lot of pain is a lot of good. So, you know, that's the warped side of me. If you want to be a little bit warped, you know, you can go with that. The other thing is, you know, again, having the belief that everything happens for a reason. And when you're going through challenges, if you can, you know, what I learned to do is when I'm going through crazy challenges, to give thanks above, thank God for the challenge. God, I know you're giving me this challenge for a reason. I accept it, and I'm grateful for it. Because when you can do that, then you stand in power. Then you're not complaining. See, whenever you play victim, you are, it's Oh, Harv Eker's book. I think, I mean, it's just perfect. Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. Anytime you play victim and you complain and you blame, then you become a crap magnet. Yeah. Only negative can be attracted to you. You can't have positive things happen when you're blaming and complaining. The only way that you can have something positive come from struggle is if you are grateful for it. And if you can look at it as, wow, I'm glad this is happening. It's going to make me stronger. I choose to believe it's going to make me stronger. Right. So, you know, that's one for sure, is you've got to come from that mindset. Otherwise, you're powerless. Excellent. And, you know, power comes from responsibility. And so part of the situation is, number one, not blaming anyone else, but taking responsibility for the fact that I'm here. You know, right. For the fact that I'm homeless and living out of my car, it happened because of me. No one else. You know, I could have blamed my mom for making me go get a job. I could have blamed society. I could have blamed the economy. I could have blamed the company that laid me off. But that would make me powerless.
Yes.
And I don't want to be powerless. I want to be strong. I want to be powerful. So I take 100% responsibility for my results, my success or lack thereof, and then I can move forward in power. And, you know, so that's one. And I think also, especially in network marketing, I think we get tested a lot. And it's this. This is something, you know, everyone should write this down and remember it forever. If you want to build a really tall building, you got to dig a really deep foundation.
Love it.
And so if you don't dig a deep foundation, if you don't go through struggles, you're not going to be able to build the building as tall. You're not going to be able to have as much success if you don't have the struggle, because especially in network marketing, you know, you're going to have to coach other people. You're going to have to walk them through their struggles. And if you haven't been through struggles yourself, you're not relatable. So No one wants a leader with a silver spoon born with a silver spoon in their mouth. They want someone who's been through the fire. You know, they want someone who's been through a storm. You know, that they end up respecting you more. And so, I mean, I'm just incredibly grateful for all the challenges that I've been through, because if I hadn't been through them, I wouldn't be able to relate to other people. I wouldn't be able to have a story to share. And so I always love it when people come to me and it's like they give me their sob story about their situation in life. And I'm like, all right, get excited. You should be so thankful for that. Because if you choose to get out of that story and make a positive out of it, use that story to make you millions of dollars. I mean, the showering in the rain story, I've told that, I don't know, hundreds of times. Right. I've used that negative experience to make me a lot of money. Right. Where other people hear it and they go, wow, if he was, you know, homeless, showering naked in a church parking lot, if he was doing stuff like that, what's my excuse? I can go do it now. Yeah. So, you know, those are a few things that I think are important for someone going through, you know, a challenging time. You know, another quote to remember is, you know, if you're going through hell, don't stay there. Keep going. There is a way out, but you do have to keep going. A lot of people, they're going through hell in life, and then they just shut down. It's like, okay, I'm not going to go venture out. I'm not going to keep trying. I'm going to stay here. Well, they stay in hell forever. They live this mediocre life. For the rest of their life, they wallow around in the cesspool of mediocrity. No, just keep going. There's always a way out. Millions of people have become millionaires. So if millions of other people have become millionaires, what's so special about you to make you think you can't do it as well? No, you can. You just have to keep going. Keep walking.
Excellent. Absolutely amazing, Matt. You're inspiring us, and the audience is just going absolutely crazy. But if Andrew, Stella, thank you very much for tuning in. Absolutely inspirational, Matt. Does he offer a mentoring course? Yes, I'm sure we can sort something out. But okay, excellent. Matt, so I'm going to play the devil's advocate a little bit now, right? And I'm going to say to you, look, I don't know I'm struggling. I don't know that I'm suffering. I don't know that I'm actually numb to growth. I don't know that I'm supposed to grow, right? How does one increase awareness? How does one know what this? How does one recognize their own situation? What is the best way for that?
You know, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
You know, if you don't know what you don't know, I mean, it's a tough situation unless you're open to coming to the realization that you don't know what you don't know. I mean, I think three of the most dangerous words in the world are, I know that.
Right.
You know, if you think you know everything, you're doomed. So you know, in my situation, have had a lot of success. Now, after a lot of struggle, I've figured out what not to do, and I've, you know, figured out how to have some success. And that's a risky situation to be in, is, you know, being content with where I am. And, you know, I've got to realize I don't know what I don't know. You know, there are other leaders out there that have performed at a higher level. I've got to seek them out. There are other strategies that I just don't know, so you got to seek them out. And so, I mean, I think it's just having awareness of you don't know what you don't know. You know, if there's someone, you know, tuning in, I mean, I think most people who are going to listen to a show like this, most people who are going to get into network marketing, you know, the reason why they're listening to the show or they're in network marketing, the reason why they took that step is because they are open to more. You know, they want more out of life. And that's, you know, whenever I do a presentation for my network marketing company, you know, we talk about testimonies of other people that have had a lot of success with our company. And everyone kind of wants to know the demographics. Who is it that typically becomes successful? And I always say, I learned this from Lisa Grossman at a talk that she did. You should have her on the show if you haven't already.
She's absolutely extraordinary.
And so she said, you know, here's the profile of someone who does really good. It's usually someone who's a little bit older, unless they're young. Usually someone who's married, unless you're single. Usually someone who has kids, unless you don't have any kids yet. And you kind of get the point. It's like anyone in this profession can have an amazing amount of success. Here's really where, and this is what I always say now is, you know, here's who does good. It's someone who wants more out of life. You know, if you feel like God put you on this planet to do more and to be more than what you are right now, you're the kind of person who can do well here. If you're coachable, teachable, you have a lot of desire and a strong work ethic, I can make you unstoppable. But you got to have those things. You got to be coachable and teachable. You got to have a strong desire, and you got to have a willingness to work. And without those things, you know, just stay where you're at. And that's where you have to learn, I think, to be okay with letting people stay where they're at. And part of my training is there's two types of people in the world. There's chickens and eagles. And our job in network marketing is to sort through the chickens to find the eagles. Mm-hmm. Now, you can try and make a chicken fly. I wouldn't suggest it. I mean, no matter how hard you want to make a chicken fly, the chicken is not going to fly. So our job is to go out and find the eagles. And, you know, what I did in network marketing for a long time is I would try and make chickens fly. I'd enroll a handful of people, and then I'd spend all my time trying to make them successful. And I was like, you know, I'm going to make them successful if it kills me. And I nearly died, is a Jim Rohn quote that he said years ago. So, you know, go out and find the eagles. Now, there are a lot of people that are eagles in training, and I was an eagle in training. It took me over 5 years to get full-time in network marketing, but I was coachable, teachable, had a strong desire and a willingness to work. So I'm going to encourage your viewers, if you're getting involved in network marketing, don't try to turn the chickens into an eagle. You know, mentor and help the eagles in training, and then go find the eagles. You know, in every deck of cards, there's four aces. There has to be four aces in every deck, but there also has to be four twos. And so, you know, prospecting and enrolling people in network marketing, it's like, you know, flipping cards in a deck. You have to flip over the twos, and they're frustrating. You're like, all there are twos in my deck. All there are threes. No, there's aces in there, but you got to keep flipping, keep flipping, keep flipping, and they're out there if you're willing to flip enough cards.
Excellent. Absolutely fantastic. And before we go back to your story, Matt, I just want to quickly ask you to clarify. I know there's a lot of people tuning in that are already in jobs. So that job mentality, breaking away, what is the difference between a job environment and being in a network marketing environment? What changes have to happen in a person?
Well, it's, you know, in a job, you're typically, you work just hard enough to not get fired, and they pay you just enough so you won't quit.
Right.
And that's typically the environment. And, you know, if you're used to that, if that's the way you're conditioned, you might have a little bit of skepticism because, you know, you get into network marketing and you might have an upline and someone who's willing to work with you, and they're financially vested in your success. The more money you make, the more money they make. And so if you're not used to that, it might be hard to accept the coaching or to almost believe that. And so this is such a strange environment where you're constantly being lifted up, you're constantly being trained and mentored, and You know, it's just different from the normal working world. And, you know, the other thing that we're conditioned is to work the 9 to 5. It's almost, you know, you want to do the minimum. And in network marketing, if you do the minimum, you're never going to get the maximum. I mean, you're never going to reach the highest points of success. And this is something that I struggled with, because I had jobs through high school and, you know, things like that. And I had to learn to, and this may sound a little strange, but in a way, you've got to treat network marketing like a job.
Right.
Because, you know, you got to schedule in times to, you know, call people, times to go to meetings, times to go to trainings, times to, you know, learn and all that kind of stuff. And so what the great thing about our profession is you can work it on your own time.
Right.
Okay. The bad thing about our profession is you can work it on your own time. And so it ends up becoming no time. You don't ever put the hours in that you need to. You know, if someone would really, you know, work network marketing like they work their job, 8 hours a day doing revenue generating activities, it'd be amazing how much more successful that people would be in our profession if they would, you know, really work those kind of hours. And the other thing is it's typically a small amount of money that you have to, you know, spend to get started in network marketing. And that's one of the greatest parts about it. It's a very low investment.
Right.
One of the worst parts about network marketing is it's a really small investment. So you treat it like a really small investment. It's like maybe it costs a few $100, or maybe it's $1,000. Well, you know, you don't really have much skin in the game.
Right.
Treat it like a $500 business. And if you treat it like a $500 business, it's going to pay you like a $500 business. And so that was one of the things that I had to really get my mind around, is most people will treat network marketing like this side hobby. You know, it's a side little hobby. And then guess what? It's going to pay you like a hobby. So when I started having success in network marketing, it was when I decided that I was going to treat it like a multi-million dollar business. I was going to treat it like I spent $300. I was going to treat it like I spent $3 million. You know, I was putting everything in. If you're going to start a McDonald's franchise and you spend $1 million on franchise fees and, you know, everything to get the business started, you're going to go to Hamburger University. You are going to show up at 7 a.m. or 5 a.m. You're going to do the work.
You've got more at stake, yeah, basically.
Yeah, you got more at stake. So I think, you know, you got to treat it like you have a lot at stake. Otherwise, you're just not going to make it. You know, the people who are like, well, I'm just going to, you know, do a little bit here and there. Maybe, I mean, you can make a little bit of money, but just don't expect to make huge money. And there are a lot of people who get involved in network marketing. They just want to make an extra $300 a month. And that's cool. You know, I never try and talk down to people who want to, you know, if they've got small goals, that's awesome. I want to have 1 million people in my organization with a really small goal. That'd be great.
Right.
But, you know, the people who really want to make big money, you got to be prepared to put in the hours, put in the effort. And in anything worthwhile, I think you have to figure out what you want to sacrifice. And that was one of the things I got out of Think and Grow Rich, is in the goal setting process, part of his goal setting process is what are you willing to sacrifice in order to have what you really want.
Right. Absolutely fantastic, Matt. I mean, we could go on for hours. It's just an amazing topic. But swiftly moving on. Just one quick question before I actually go back to your story. So when you actually think of your business as a million-dollar business, do you appreciate your time more? Do you value your own time more then?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you're just way more efficient, because it is very easy to waste a ton of time, because this is a people business. It's about building relationships, but you know, it becomes very easy to say, well, instead of calling new people to enroll in my business, I'm just going to call the ones that are already in my business and, you know, go have lunch with them and do more trainings with them. And you know, you end up wasting all of your time in non-revenue generating activities. So, you know, you've got to be very, very mindful of your time. And you know, I mean, what I did for many, many years is I had a Franklin planner, and you block out times. I mean, if you struggle with time management and network marketing, I'd encourage anyone to do this, is get a little day planner or something like this.
Yes.
And block out times. It's like, I'm going to do emails at this, you know, in the morning and at night, and I'm not going to be stuck to email all day. I'm not going to do Facebook all day. Like, block out your Facebook time, block out your email time, but also block out the time where you're going to be making calls, where you're going to be following up with prospects and all that. So you got to be really almost militant about your time, because if you're not militant about your time, if you don't control your day, the day controls you. And, you know, it's kind of like planning for your life. Most people, you know, Mary Kay said most people plan their vacations more than they plan their life, and it's very true. So if you don't plan your life, if you don't plan your time, you're like a ping pong ball in the ocean. You're just floating around. You're never getting anywhere. So, you know, now I've moved to the iPhone, you know. I mean, I've got the calendar on the iPhone, and I got to be honest, it's more of a struggle now than it was when I had the planner to look at all the time. So I got to make sure I block out time in my phone to do things that are revenue generating.
That's absolutely fantastic. I've got a question here from Stella. She says, is it important to get a mentor or someone that's you can be accountable to?
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the great things about our profession is, you know, mentors are a lot more readily available than about any other entrepreneurial venture that you might go for. Typically, there's someone in your upline that is making the kind of money that you want, and you want to seek them out. And that was part of the struggle that I had for a long time in network marketing, was I never really had a strong mentor. I was, you know, over 5 years in network marketing, and I never had anyone that had made big money that I could work directly with. And there's just so much to the network marketing profession that is so contrary to, you know, what you would think it would be. It's contrary to, you know, the corporate working world. And so when you have someone that you can call and say, hey, I'm having trouble with this, what's going on? I mean, it just really helps you. So what happened with me is when I decided I'm going to go all in on network marketing, when I got laid off, went back into network marketing, I was working like crazy, but I didn't have a mentor in the company that I was working with.
Right.
And I had an upline, and they were available for three-way calls sometimes and things like that, but I just wouldn't call it a real mentor relationship. And so I was working really exceedingly hard, and I was having results. I mean, my team was growing, but it was growing really slowly. It was kind of a grind, and I was selling more than I was, doing network marketing. I was a great enroller, but not good. I couldn't get any duplication.
Right.
And, I ended up meeting in another company. I met a guy named Wayne, and, started working with him. And, you know, it was like, this was a guy who had already made over $1 million in network marketing. He had built teams of tens of thousands of people. And because I had direct access, he became my sponsor. It was crazy how I met him, but I did. And then, you know, I was able to do three-way calls. I was able to, you know, two-on-ones and one-on-ones, and how to run a hotel meeting, and how to lead people, and how to coach people, the right books to read, what books to have your people read, you know, all that kind of stuff that I never knew before. And I went from pretty much always spending more money than I was making. I was working as a waiter at Saltgrass Steakhouse in Arlington, Texas, and then, you know, doing network marketing on the side full-time, doing the waiter more on the part-time basis. But I was making about the same as a waiter as I was in network marketing. Right. And then when I started working with Wayne, everything just switched. Then it was like I ended up building a team of 10,000 people in 2 years. 90 days later, I got to $2,000 a week in income. Wow. And I wasn't working any harder, really, than I was the 90 days before. I mean, I was probably working a little bit harder, but my mindset shifted. I changed the way that I was doing my business.
Excellent. And just on your journey with network marketing, Matt, I've just picked up that you've been through a lot of systems. So the one that actually worked for you, has it got anything to do with the company, the products, the comp plan, or are they all good in their own way? It's down to the person.
You want to obviously find a company that is got a good company, a good product, good compensation plan and all that. And, you know, what I hate in a way about network marketing is you have so many different leaders saying my comp plan is better than your comp plan. You know, here's the deal. There's 100 pennies in every dollar. There's 100 pennies in every dollar. And it's like a lot of people are saying, well, we're paying out 110 pennies. You're not paying out 110 pennies. There's 100 in a dollar. So, you know, it's more about the system, I think. I'm obviously big on finding the right company at the right time, the right products, compensation plan. I mean, you got to have something that's good. There's a lot of, there are some just blatant pyramid schemes that are out there that, you know, we just recently had one shut down. So you want to obviously stay clear of that. But there's a lot. There's so many great companies in network marketing. Being a leader in my company, you know, a lot of times you want to think, oh, mine's the best. And, you know, yes, I think mine's awesome. It's the best. For me, it's the best. But there's so many other good companies. You know, I'm never going to say mine's better than yours. There's so many good ones out there. It's just you got to follow the right system. You got to have the right mentorship. And I'd say, you know, if you're looking at a bunch of different companies, what I would say is find what you're passionate about.
Right, right.
And if
right.
you're not passionate about the product
yes.
and it's just about the money, you're gonna hit upon, it's like a lid of success.
Right.
You know, I was involved in a company, I was not passionate about the product, I had a lot of success, and I just didn't want to do it anymore. I was bored. And, you know, I think you want to find something that you're not going to get bored with long term.
Right.
So that would be, you know, recommendation for me. Find something you're passionate about and make sure you're following, you know, the system that works. There's a lot of people out there that, especially on the internet, people selling you on a system of like, you know, enroll 20 people a day, push button easy.
Yeah, nothing like that here, guys. On that note, Matt, any income claims that we make on the show, guys, we're all adults here, and you have to understand it's not average income because these people, I mean, like Matt, for instance, you're listening to Matt, you can see the way he is, and he's actually pointed out what kind of traits you need to make magic happen, magical income happen in your business. There's no online, you know, push-button softwares or anything like that. It's all down to your dedication and hard work and how seriously you take the business. Sorry, Matt, go ahead.
absolutely. I appreciate you saying that, actually. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of the times the people selling the push-button systems, they've made all their money selling you on how you can go out and become successful, but they've never really done it long-term.
Yeah,
so, you know, it is about the system. It's most of the principles in network marketing are the same principles that have been working for the last 20, 30, 40 years.
Right.
Now, what's great, I mean, technology makes things so much easier. The first time I ever made six figures in network marketing, there was we didn't have text messaging. This is before text messaging, if you can imagine. And so I averaged 7,000 minutes a month on my cell phone bill, 7,000 minutes. I mean, that's a lot of hours on the phone because, you know, now someone, you know, from all over the world, you know, WhatsApp, or they can send me a text message, send me a WhatsApp message, Viber and all that. We have all these tools now. And so it accelerates. I mean, network marketing is a lot easier now, I think, than it was, you know, 10 and 15 years ago. It was much more difficult back then because, you know, I spent all day. If someone had a question, they'd call. Like, I'd get off a call, and then I'd go to check my messages, and I'd have four more messages. You know, it was like, so now with text messaging, Facebook groups, you know, if we wanted to promote a call or a training, we had to get on the phone and call everyone in our group. Now, you know, we have Facebook groups. We shoot it out. We text blast everyone. We email. Like, it's just, you know, it's a lot simpler. So,
and you can leverage time.
Can leverage time. But, I mean, the principles of this being a relationship building business, I think, will always remain constant, you know.
Right, right.
So you've got to make sure you're doing what's really going to work. You can have the high tech, and I'm a big high tech guy, but I think you also have to bring in the high touch.
The human side, right? The human side, natural communication. Excellent. Now, my question to you, Matt, is a very interesting one. You said to me, right, we've been talking through your story, and you said that you were quite quite invert person. You didn't really communicate with people. So how did you learn to do that? I mean, how did you make your first call? What was your first recruit like? How did you recruit someone first?
I mean, I just, you know, in that first company, I just kind of willed myself to do it. And I didn't call many.
Right.
And I really didn't call many. Because I was shy, I was afraid they would reject me. Number one fear in the world is the fear of rejection. I mean, people always say it's the fear of public speaking, but the fear of public speaking is just the fear of being rejected publicly. So it's fear of rejection. And, you know, you got to figure out how to get over the fear of rejection. And what I did for years is I would only show people the business if I thought there was a really good chance they were going to enroll, if I thought they would, like, definitely had a good chance of enrolling, then I would show them the business. And right. if I thought they probably wouldn't join, I wouldn't show them.
Right.
And so that's one of the reasons why I failed for 5.5 years in network marketing, is I would only show it to people who I thought were definitely in.
They prejudged. Did you judge?
Totally. Yeah. And that's one of the things that I did. You know, and let me get back to your question before I talk about this.
Yeah.
You know, if you look behind me, this is, you know, you see my library. I can, you know, there's
two big bookshelves.
Yeah, and I'm out of space. I'm like, my wife's like, you got to stop buying books because they're like, I mean, they're falling over, right? But one of the things I read when, and this was actually when I was homeless. See, when I was homeless, I was okay if it was like a one-on-one setting or I was talking to a couple people, but if it was more than that, I felt really awkward. Mm-hmm. And it was either Unlimited Power or one of Tony's other books, I can't remember, but he said a thing. It was like, write down what you want in life and give yourself a deadline to when you're going to have it. And I had this legal sheet of paper. I wish I still had it today. This is before I had a journal. I mean, this is, you know, I just had a legal pad. But I wrote out, I was writing down all the things that I wanted. And, you know, it starts out with materialistic things. Like, I want a Ferrari. I want to have a big mansion. I want to have, you know, a yacht. And then one of the things that was really high on the list was that I just want to be a master communicator.
Right.
I don't want to feel awkward in social situations anymore. I want to feel comfortable in my own skin, because I did not at all feel comfortable in my own skin. You know, I was kind of the guy who'd go to, you know, parties, and I didn't want to go to parties because it was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to meet new people. And I'll even say now, I'm not necessarily the life of the party. If you put me in an environment where I don't know anyone, I'm not the most, you know, outgoing, you know, super networker that you would think. I'm more of like, I tend to kind of stay by myself. You know, and I've learned to like push myself and get out of my shell, but you know, it's the practical learner. It's you know, the technical learning, reading books like How to Win Friends and Influence People, How to Have Confidence and Power in Dealing with People, Skill with People. You know, there's a lot of great books on being a great communicator. And so I would read those, and then I'd just start applying. Read, apply, read, apply. It doesn't do any good to just read. You have to also apply. And if you don't, if you just apply and you don't also have the, you know, get the knowledge, the advanced skills, then you have to kind of learn the hard way. And so, you know, most people learn from their own mistakes. Geniuses learn from the mistakes of others. And so, you know, I just want to, I want the strategies, and then I want to apply them. And so for me, it just came from doing it over and over and over and over. And, you know, it's like if you do what you fear enough, the death of fear is inevitable. And so I finally got over stage fright, for instance, you know, speaking in public. And I remember the first time I ever did it, there were 6 guests in the room. It was someone in my group asked me to come present. And he had rented out a hotel room, a ballroom, and he needed a presenter. And I was his sponsor. And I was like, I never had the initiative to rent out my own ballroom, but he did. So he rented out this room. He was going to have all these people. I was so afraid because I'd never spoken in front of a group before, but I agreed to do it. And anyway, I showed up. There were 6 guests. 3 walked out. I mean, that's how, I mean, I was so bad. 3 of them walked out. One of the guys who walked out, he ended up joining our company a few months later from someone else.
Oh,
I mean, that's how bad I was. So and then, you know, it was like, I never want to do that again, but I did it again, and then I did it again, and I did it again, and I did it again, and so, you know, finally, after doing it 100 or a couple hundred times, you know, it got to the point where I didn't have this, like, it was almost like it would, like, seize me up. I mean, I was going to have to go do a talk, and I would want to find an excuse to have to go home. You know, I mean, I just, that was how bad I was afraid of speaking in public. But I just forced myself to do it. And because I forced myself to do it enough, eventually the fear went away. Now I love to, I can't wait. I mean, I love it. Whether it's, you know, I mean, 9,000 people in a auditorium in a stadium, I'm excited. I can't wait. You know, we just had an event with 12,000 people, and they rotate us as trainers, like I'll speak at our, we do four major events a year, and I'll speak at one or two of those, like the other top leaders in our company. And I was like so upset that I didn't speak at this event because there were 12,000 people. I was like, man, I want to do that. So now it's like, I want to go do it. It's not a fear anymore. And so you just have to keep doing it. If you keep doing it, you'll get rid of the fear.
Excellent. And that moment that you decided not to go home or get on stage, right? Mm-hmm. How hard is it to make that decision? And when you do start making decisions like that, how easier does it become?
The more times you do it, the easier it becomes. Right. And so I'm big on, you know, affirmations and self-talk. And in fact, one of the books that I really strongly urge every leader in my group to read is What to Say When You Talk to Yourself by Shad Helmstetter.
Okay.
And so I actually heard heard him speak at this network marketing company that I was in many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was amazing. I read the book. It made a big difference. You know, I read the book, but I didn't really read it like I should have. I went back and I reread it, and it breaks down the levels of self-talk, you know. And so what I've learned to do now is when I read a book, don't just read it. Read it like you're going to have to give a training on it the next day, or, you know, when you're done with it. So it's taking notes. In fact, if you look down,